Welcome to the very first episode of the Customer Experience Podcast with your host, Emma Dark, and your very first guest, author and Chief Customer Officer, Sharon Boyd. And in the first episode, as new technology emerges that in a lot of ways makes life much easier for custom teams the world over through automation and process, there is a real danger that we lose the all-important human element. Sharon and Emma unpack how to keep your customer soul intact, using customer demos or sandboxes to put yourself in their shoes, and create a seamless experience between the machine and the human. Every aspect of this debate is covered, so if you love tech and you know that customers should be at the heart of everything your business does, we reckon you'll absolutely love this one. Hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you for joining me as my very first guest for our customer experience podcast that we will be sharing. So today kind of kicks it off. So thank you for being my first guest. So the topic for today is all around humanizing customer experience in the world of technology. And I was actually inspired by this topic as a result of your latest book. So firstly, congratulations. I have it here in my hand now. And for the listeners, it's called Your CXC and We Know It. That's quite a title. I love that. And you've written this book with your colleagues, Mark and John Parker. But that really inspired me to kind of host the topic on that today, because, you know, it brings me nicely on to, let's have a little bit of background from yourself. So tell me a little bit about your journey so far, you know, and actually what led you to write this book around making technology much more human.
Thank you. My background, I guess, has always been quite technical, but always very operational focused. Okay. So I'd often see the customer facing side and angle while still seeing all the behind the scenes technical discussions. Yeah. And quite often I saw there was a bit of a mismatch there. You know, those in ops are kind of speaking and talking to customers all day long, and you can hear the kind of bit about going, why is it not easy? Why have we overcomplicated it? Why are we talking jargon? You know, why is it all around KPIs and tech this and tech that? Why are we making it so hard for our customer facing colleagues? And then you'd see the tech guys in the background kind of head down going, look, we just want to make it work. There's this platform, there's that, there's this operating system. And it's like two worlds apart sometimes. Yeah. And having seen that, I kind of thought, do you know what, there's an easier way. We need to join the teams up as much as possible. And some companies do that brilliantly. Other companies don't really see the connection between the two. And for me, that's a really crucial thing to make sure that you do join up the two, and that you do it in a seamless way. So everything you build, everything you grow, when you put out comms, that you know who your customer is and how you're speaking to them and what they need. So if you build and design as you go, and you grow that whole development roadmap with your actual end user and customer in mind, all the wording that you use, and you humanize it, then the adoption and the uptake in that tech is going to be so much better. And then you've got your customer advocates that we're all, you know, kind of desperate to have. That's the holy grail, isn't it? The customer advocates who go out there and sell your product. But you've got to do it in partnership with your customer, rather than just going, well, you know, we're techie, we know how to build a system, so we're just going to crack on and do it, and you know, if we build it, they will come. It doesn't work like that. So yeah, that's why I thought it was important to kind of get that message across, that you've got to join the two.
Absolutely. And do you know, I read something recently, a McKinsey study that was, you know, global execs, and it was talking about how firms have accelerated their digitalization of customer and supply chain by up to 4 years, you know, with recent kind of, you know, the pandemic and what's been going on. And also, you know, their share of digital or digitally enabled products in their portfolio has accelerated by 7 years. So, you know, technology is, you know, becoming such an important part of everyone's agenda. It kind of implies that to stay competitive, digitalization is much more predominant within customer experience right now. So it kind of plays to what you were just saying. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd agree. That's where we're all going, isn't it? But we've got to keep a real firm eye on the fact that we're all human, and those human interactions are what we all need. Through the pandemic, how much did we see that actually a lot of it, we just want human interaction? And those things where before we kind of like, oh, we want things, now we want people. And it's the people that we missed, and hugs and, you know, social gatherings and actual faces of 3D people rather than Zoom. We can't lose sight of the human. But yeah, digital, automation, we've got all this amazing technology out there, which will definitely help speed up our businesses, make us more productive, efficient, all the rest of it. But we can't forget that actually at the end we're human and human, whether there's a system or tech in the middle. So that's why I'm always seen to the other extreme now. But when I talk and coach people who are kind of customer facing but remote, you hear people say things like, customers now check and see whether I'm a chatbot. So you kind of, you have the opposite way around now, where someone's actually trying to prove that they're human. And that, you know, customers want that. You know, when you go to a shop, I always find the kind of supermarket journey interesting. And this is where you see, you know, that there is still a mix. You've got those who go straight for like the hand scanners. I'm often a hand scanner person in a supermarket. And then you've got those who will always go to the till because they want a human. And then there's a mix of people who go, well, you know, it depends on how I feel and which shop it is. But yeah, as long as there's the options and you've got the recovery options, which are most important, that actually if the tech falls down, you can actually get to a real human. But we've got to get that balance right, and we can't lose sight of the fact that it's still human to human at the end, even though we're going in the right direction and automation and digitalization is the right direction.
Interesting. I totally resonate with that point you made. You know, in an operational role I had a couple of years ago, you know, there was quite a theme of complaints coming through where customers were saying, you know, that robot you've got is not very well trained. And it was actually, there were people that were sat behind that digital contact as well, which was even more scary because, you know, it's how do you make the technology more humanized? But then in a digital channel, how do you make sure the person that sat behind that contact is also coming across as being authentic and empathetic with the customer? It's a real challenge. So let's unpack this because it's quite a broad kind of topic, isn't it? So, you know, and there'll be some nuggets in your book that we'll talk to this. But what would you say are the key things to consider when you're introducing technology to get that human character?
Well, I think that authenticity bit and empathy, those are, you know, you've hit the nail dead on the head with those two. The other thing I'd talk about is character and culture. So within our company at MKL, we have a very, very strong culture. So all of our wording, we build our system and all of our comms reflect that. So if you met us in real life or if you saw our details on the system, they, you know, like, oh, you need to sign up or you log in. It's, we use the same wording, and that's what creates that kind of continuity of culture and humanization and personality. And I think quite often you look at a system and it doesn't reflect at all the brand because it's maybe something that's bought, you know, off the shelf, or, you know, it's quite formal, and you just, it's a shame then, because that's when you kind of lose that humanization piece. So I think I would encourage people to remember that with each company, it's very different, and your voice, your tone of voice that you put out, you know, from a marketing point of view, if that is then reflected through your tech, whether it's through your instructions when you unbox something, or, you know, on your IVR, whatever that looks like, if you can continue that through, then that, first of all, it shows the size and the power of the brand and builds that brand advocacy. But it also then just, you know, it helps someone connect back to the human side and see the character. So that's definitely one thing I would say. But also just really, just as I said at the start, build with the customer in mind and keep checking back in. So each time you do an update, don't just go, oh, that's nice and shiny, let's go off in that direction, as quite often we do in the tech world, because we're like, Apple's doing this, I'm going to do what Apple's going to do. It's not about that. It's about this is my customer group. And we've got to remember, it's not just one customer. When we say, what does the customer want? It's, all these customer demographics. What does the customer want and need? Our customer want and need, or our future customer want and need? And what are we doing for them? Not, oh, what's such and such doing? Let's copy. That's quite often what I see happen in the tech world, and that can happen more and more as we go down that digitalization route. So those are probably the two key ones. But empathy, that is such a human trait, and it's really, really hard to put that in a system. So we can't let go of that. When we do all our journey mapping and empathy mapping and stuff like that, we've got to keep hold of that empathy side. I do a lot of coaching, and actually when I'm talking about resilience, we talk about how important empathy is for building those strong customer relationships and giving amazing five-star customer experience, but you do have the resilience side of things as well, because then you absorb some of those feelings from customers. So yeah, you've got to get that. A lot of it is about balance in tech and customer, but you've got to get empathy, authenticity, and that character and culture all the way through. Just keep checking back.
Okay. So talk to me about how you check back then. So, for those that haven't maybe implemented a lot of digital technology or new on that kind of journey and kind of catching up, how do you check in with a customer? So, don't just take it to market. Don't just launch it without kind of checking in. What are the techniques? How do you check in? What does that involve?
So there's lots you can do here. But one of the things that I always talk about and is in the book is about eating your own dog food. And that's really about, okay, so I've got a website, or I've got a restaurant or a hotel or a dentist, or whatever it looks like, and putting all of the employees and all the leaders through that customer journey and feeling it directly as a customer would. Because then you go, these processes that we've got here for our business don't actually suit the customer, and use real customers and real kind of pointers that come in from your customer surveys, etc., to kind of lead and input into those eat your own dog food things. So that's an internal thing that you do, but you really include the employees that are front facing to kind of get that feedback and go, when we're standing in front of a hotel customer and we're checking them in, they say this, or they don't understand this, and actually we could improve that. So definitely include your employees in there that have an absolute wealth of customer feedback. And then the customers themselves, there's lots of ways that we can check in with customers and get their feedback as we go. And I'm not a huge fan of lots of surveys. I think as much we can do face to face, the better, especially if we are customer facing in a real world like retail, where we can actually see a customer in front of us. But I think if we can just spend time rolling up our sleeves, and again, this comes back with the kind of the eat your own dog food. If you can spend time rubbing shoulders with the employees, especially if you're a leader, and get in there and kind of work on the tills, or work walking the shop floor and seeing what customers are doing, watching their facial expressions, watching what they're saying and how long they're queuing for. A lot of that we can pick up on what customers need and want. The other thing I would say from a tech point of view is demo. So with us, we always create a demo system, which we call the sandbox, which is just a digital term for a test play system, basically. And if you create that and you're very upfront about it and say, look, we're building a new system, we'd love customers to get involved right from the start, this is our link, go touch, play, break it. And then customers can really kind of get their hands in there, their fingers in there, and go, this is great, you could do this, or this doesn't work for me, I don't get it. And as you build with the customer in mind and they give you that live feedback, I mean, that is just invaluable. And the more you do that, the better your output is going to be, because you're going to have a product there that is designed with the people who want to buy it. So that, why would you not do that? I know that some people say, yeah, but as soon as I put something out there, competitors are going to try and copy it. So I know there's an IP piece in there, but actually, if you do it right and you bring customers on along with you and you're upfront and open about what you're building and that you want to do this completely customer driven, it's that element that actually means that a lot of your customers will come to you rather than a competitor anyway. So for me, I'm very much like, come on, let's be open, let's be transparent and bring that customer on the journey with us. That way we build something they actually want to buy. And that's how our sales rocket. That's how we get the return on investment. That's where we get into the piece of, okay, CX isn't as fluffy as people say it is, because there we go. There's the commercial gain of actually speaking and connecting with our customers, which I think is just so important in the CX world.
Yeah, love the passion of how you described that as well then, Sharon. I kind of felt, you know, the customer is absolutely at the heart of that kind of mantra as well. And, you know, I guess in terms of an investment for companies to do that, you know, how many customers typically get involved in those kind of exercises? Is it expensive to do that? Do customers really kind of bite your arm off and say, yes, please, and want to get involved? You know, what would you say on those two points?
I think in our experience, we've just put it on social media, like LinkedIn, for instance, and gone, this is our sandbox, go and have a play. And because we work in the world of Internet of Things, which is quite like, oh, people aren't really sure what that is, or they know it's kind of new and shiny and like, oh, I want a piece of that. We've been quite lucky in that we get a really high uptake. So it costs us nothing. We put it out there and we kind of encourage people and say, so it's, you know, we're fairly kind of regular with what we put out there. But then we get a real response back of, this is fantastic, I love it. How could I do this with my business? How does this work in this particular sector? So actually, from our point of view, it hasn't cost us anything. But so I would definitely, you know, often hear kind of boundary, you know, there's reasons why people can't do things, lots of barriers. But actually, I think we've proved in what we've done that actually, if you share and are quite open with what you're doing, then you can, the value that comes back, if you use the right platforms, can far outweigh any kind of issues the other way. What was the other question you asked me?
Well, I want to prod you a little bit on that sandbox idea then, just around, you know, bring to life an example of something that you've put into that environment, just to bring it to life a little bit around, you know, just again, for those that have just never used that concept before, because it's so open, as you said earlier, it's almost like sharing your IP, but you see the bigger gain on it. But actually, the action is exactly how you can humanize the experience. So I really want to get into an example on that sandbox, if you can share.
Yeah, so the sandbox that our one so it's all based around energy. So imagine that you are a landlord and you've got a huge office. So you've got in there, you've got a lot of people milling about, and you need to sort out your air conditioning and all that kind of, you've got all the behind the scenes stuff of running a building. So in this sandbox, you can see all of your main building information, like what's the temperature at, what's the air quality, how much carbon am I using, how much electricity, that kind of thing. So very basic things. But underneath, the point of it is that you can see what your carbon footprint is, and you can reduce your energy and your electricity outputs. So you can save money. So that's the key premise of what the system is. But the way that we've designed it, the kind of the UI piece, is very colourful, it's very engaging, it's very easy, it's very simple to kind of get your head around. You can look at it straight away and go, okay, I understand what the point of this is. How would this work if I had a chain of hotels? How would this work if I had an airport? So we tweaked the sandbox so that it doesn't just go, okay, it's a retail building or it's an office block. It could also work if you had a hospital. So we have a hospital version of the sandbox so that people can kind of get their head around, okay. And that's the kind of clever bit. If you've got someone in your development team who can tweak it to different user stories like that, then you can get someone to go, I can now see the power of this technology. I can put my fingers in it and I can see how it flows. I can see those graphs. I can click on that. I can see the colors. Now I get it. And that is so much more powerful than looking on a website and seeing a static picture of what your system looks like and then having to go through the sales pitch and all the rest of it. That's why we do it, because then we, you know, somebody will say, oh, because it works for a hospital, could that also work for a pharmacy or whatever else? And then you go, yeah, and then you've engaged somebody because they're already kind of in that mindset of, I get it.
Yeah, fascinating. I love that. Thank you for sharing. So I want to move on to kind of linking back to an earlier point you made. So we've all had experiences where we start interacting with firms in the digital space. So we've got a problem, we've got something we need help with. So we've started off our journey with a firm in that digital space, and then we get stuck. So, you know, you raised a point at the beginning about the importance of the balance of, you know, the human element and being able to kind of, you know, have that choice. And, you know, we've been in a situation, you know, I'm sure we both have, where you kind of sit and think, I'm trying to self-help, I'm trying to do this myself, or I've started interacting with a bot, but actually now I need to speak to someone. And it's challenging because you end up stuck in that process, really. You can't get out. You have to, you know, kind of break away, abandon, and almost look to pick up the phone or try another channel. So how do you create that seamless kind of journey and experience so that you can blend letting the technology take care of the parts transactionally and when it's right to do that versus when actually now it's time we need to offer you the opportunity to speak to that human?
Yeah, I think you've got to be really intentional about it. Massively intentional and go, okay, plot out the customer journey and go, right, what if they drop here? How do they get back in? Have we lost them? What do they do? How do we know we've dropped them? And on a website, you can quite often see those stats. You can go, right, okay, they dropped out on this page. Well, what's the problem with this page? We need to fix it. But yeah, you've got to map the process and then work out if they fall, how do we get them back up? And what's the baton pass look like from one department to another or one channel to another if they're doing channel hopping? And how does that look like? If we're using a chatbot, for instance, we need to build something into the chatbot experience where there's just something that says, speak to a human. Yeah, same as like when you're in the checkout and you've got that unexpected item in baggage area and you stand there going, oh, I've had to set every single item now. Come on. You've got to really train your staff to be looking out for customers who are almost doing that meerkat thing about going, come on, help me. You've got to like encourage them to say, look, we've got all this tech, which is brilliant, and it will speed things up, etc. But your job is now to focus on the customer experience. You watch and make sure that a customer is not going through those horrible emotions of pure frustration. Help me, and watch out for those motions that a customer will do where they say they need help. And when they do need help, it's looking back at the bigger picture once you've helped them to say, okay, where did they fall? Why? What overall? Where are they dropping? Where's our process not working? If it's the unidentified object in the baggage area, what is it? What do we need to tweak in the tech or signage or comms to stop this happening? We don't just put something in and leave it and then just go, oh, they'll figure it out. I think that again is where we kind of match and connect the tech and the human that's on site or behind the scenes to help, and train the human to watch out for those bits where the customer is going to drop through the gaps and try and grab them before they do, and then get rid of those pain points as much as they can to stop it happening.
So intentional, love that. And I guess what I've heard as well, you know, you're seriously mapping out the process flow and just, you know, walking those workflows out as kind of the pre-work, you know, which will go into the business requirements and in the technology. But you talked earlier as well about using insight from the front line, you know, the employees that have that kind of customer facing or not, that just have the insight. Where does data kind of play into all of building these humanized experiences? How does, you know, let's build on voice of customer and data and how that actually, you know, blends into this humanized intention that, you know, technology needs to have.
Yeah, so we often talk about doing a Gemba walk, which is where you go and watch your front-facing operation. You completely stand back and observe. So you just watch everyone doing their thing. So say you're watching an airport. We then look at, let's stay with an airport then. So we then look at maybe their CSAT at different parts of the journey. So onboarding is the lowest point. Okay, we've stood back and watched. Can we work out why? And we take that data and look at the operation and go, okay, the onboarding section of the whole part of their aviation journey, why is that got the lowest CSAT? And then start breaking that down. So onboarding, they go from this to this to this to this to this. What is it? Is it they're having to queue on the stairs? Is it they're having to go through, what is it? And then speak to customers around this specific bit. So you stand alongside them and say, okay, so you're onboarding today. How has your experience been so far? What would you say to me to change this for the better for you? What could we do? And that richness of standing alongside somebody and they're actually in that moment of walking it through, especially somewhere like an airport. I've done that. And the power of that comes back to you when you're kind of standing with them, as I say, eating your own dog food, so important. If you're queuing to get on a plane with all the rest of the passengers, feeling their pain, kind of seeing them watch around and go, is someone going to come see us in a minute? And we should be on board by now. Getting those kind of in the moment customer verbatims to really kind of bring that whole customer journey map and the data to life is really powerful, especially when you then overlay those employee observations too, because they'll quite often say, yeah, we get that all the time. And that's because this isn't this. If we just open the doors 3 minutes earlier, or put out an announcement at this point, or change the app to say this whole thing would go away. So I think you've got to use the richness of the in the moment alongside the customer, the data that comes through from your NPS, your CSAT, whatever that looks like for you as a business, and then the employee feedback as well, as a whole picture, and actually live it, walk it, see it, and feel it most of all, and just see what that feels like, and then go, right, okay, what are we going to do now? The customers and employees have given us all of this really rich feedback. We now need to turn it round. So we're not going to get it right every time. Let's test it. Let's talk to some of those customers who were like really passionate about talking to us and build those relationships to say, do you know what? You said that if we did this slightly better, it would make a difference. We're going to try it. Do you mind kind of working alongside us and testing it and seeing if it's an improvement? And by doing that with real people who are passionate enough to give you that feedback, that not only makes them really strong customer advocates, but it gives you such a crucial insight into what works and what doesn't.
You would have come across challenges along the way. So sounds like, you know, within your book, you talk about a lot of successes and ways that have, worked for you in your career. But what are the kind of key challenges do you think that you've faced or that, companies will face when creating those human customer experiences? So let's talk about the key challenges. Yeah, what are the things that tend to trip people up and catch people out?
There's a couple of things. I think one of the things is probably moving too fast. So quite often we'll put in a piece of tech as a whatever company you are, and I've got a company in mind where we did this, and we really tried to transform the whole customer experience from something quite old and legacy to something very digital. So a complete digital transformation in a retail world. And it went great. But we forgot that actually there's a geographic spread here of different customers. Not every customer is going to get it. And some customers don't want digital. They don't want tech. They're used to going and queuing and speaking to Doris in the post office or whatever. And that's what they want. They don't want to do it online. So us forcing them and taking Doris away completely or any other human factor will just make them go, what? I can't do this. What have you done? And sometimes you really see that passion in a customer where they've gone, no, I don't want this. I'm going elsewhere. And they turn from someone who's incredibly loyal to, nope, never going back there again in seconds, because we've gone with the majority who've adopted and gone really well. So yeah, I'd say pace. And sometimes we forget that we've got to take the customer on the journey with us. We can't just transform overnight. The same as employees, we've got to take them with us too. They need to understand why we're doing it. So often you get that piece around putting in tech, right, what's gonna happen to my job? So, and then that kind of anxiety travels from the employee to the customer. So that as soon as a customer says, oh, well, the system's not working very well, is it? The employee goes, no, it's really rubbish, isn't it? And then, you know, that kind of cycle of employee and customer interaction then becomes negative. And then up the chain goes, oh, digital transformation's not going very well. People don't like it. What should we do? Let's scrap it. And then, right, you just kind of, oh. So, yeah, I think the biggest watch out is that you take the humans on the journey with you, whoever they are. You will help them understand the why. If you've got employees and you're doing a digital transformation, which obviously you will have, help them on that journey, like help them get their fingers in. Do that kind of eat your own dog food session if it's a brand new proposition. Help them get in there and try it and feel it and have their say about, I don't think that'll work because customers do this. Or actually in my department, we do this. Do you think that would work? And once they then feel their input is in there, they're going to adopt it so much better, which then helps how they sell it to customers because they feel like they're part of it rather than us doing change to them. So I think the one key thing I would say is pace. Don't forget the change curve and how hard it can be to adopt sometimes, and communicate to everybody about the why you're doing this and the benefit and the value. Rather than just going, yep, yeah, brand new system, how exciting. Ta-da! You can't do that. I wish you could, but you can't.
Thanks, Sharon. And let's think about that digital transformation piece in a bit more detail then. So what, you know, in your experience, what are the key kind of capabilities and resources that, you know, firms need to have in place to go on that journey of digital transformation? Because we've talked a lot today about, you know, the technology in the sandbox kind of concept. We've talked about different insight, whether that's kind of quant or qual insight. We've talked about mapping processes. We've talked about continuous improvement. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, skills in there. That's notwithstanding the technology capabilities. But in your view, for transformation and digital transformation to be successful, what are those key capabilities and resources that have to be in place for success?
I'm going to change that slightly in my answer and say that actually one of the most crucial things that you've got to have for this transformation to work is that the sponsorship from the senior team and the senior leaders has got to be that they get the customer and employee experience has got to be the top. So as you go through that, they then go, right, okay, so for our digital transformation or whatever it is that's going to work, we need to make sure that we are setting the example from the top, that all the resources and everything we do are lined up so they get the best customer outcome and the best employee outcome. And if you've got that sponsorship over the top, they'll make sure that the right resources are in place. The other thing at a lower level, I'd say, is quite often you've got your back of house teams who are doing and making a lot of those crucial decisions, like the user interface, for example. So if you've got a back-end developer who has no clue what the real kind of customer journey looks like because they've never shopped the shop, then they're just going to be going, oh, well, I'll put that button there and I'll use this, whatever, because they don't know. So getting your back of house rolled up sleeves alongside your front of house, even if it's just for a day, will make such a huge difference to how your end customer journey looks like. So yeah, I would say in terms of resources, the standard ones like, you know, the UI and the developers and you, whatever you do, just make sure that the people you've got in your journey are customer empathetic, know what the front-facing operation looks like and the pain that they might already be experiencing, and help them keep connecting back to the person who's going to be using it. So I think that was a slight sidestep on your question, but I think the sponsorship and the customer connection with whatever resources you've got there is more crucial than anything else.
And do you think that typically those resources sit in the organization design? Or do you think as things have accelerated, as you know, all these studies are telling us that everything has actually gone faster and things have, you know, gone to market much quicker than, you know, previously, do you think organizations, firms have that skill set in-house, or they have to, you know, kind of bring it in to deliver successfully these technology changes?
Well, quite often because of cost, companies outsource, don't they, their technical teams. So you've got developers elsewhere, and that's where you have the disconnect then, because sometimes they're in a completely different country from the end user. And they've never been into a store or a hotel or whatever it is that you're talking about here. But so they've got to imagine it. So that can then make them very, very remote. But they are a key and crucial part in this chain. If they're developing the front end system that a customer is going to be touching and feeling and using all day long. So again, I would go back to that word about being intentional here, about going, okay, our developers are playing such a key part. How do we connect them? Do we have to, if they physically are in another country, do we do a Zoom call and go on an iPad and show them round the store? This is, and go, right, you're now in our bakery, the bakery till system that you're developing here. This is the person, show them the person that would be using it. Hello. And just kind of go, look, this is the store space. This is, this is why we do this thing. You can see feel the hustle and bustle. So actually the queue is right outside the door now. So we've got to make sure this till interface is really easy. All the cakes are in the same place. The sandwiches are in the, we've got to have 10 different screens. It's got to be a small amount because the transactions have to be quick. Otherwise, customers are going to get really annoyed because they're queuing out the door while someone's still looking for Sarni. And just help them experience it. And if we don't do that, then that person isn't going to have a clue, are they? Quite rightly. And then you're going to have that, oh, why have you put the button down there? It's hidden. I can't find it. And then they're going to be moaning to customers, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, you've got to, whatever that looks like, if they're remote, bring them into the fold as much as you can, even if they're in another country. There's no excuse now. We can do everything remotely. Let's do it.
Absolutely. And I guess it's that good old fashioned saying of, kind of walking in the customer's shoes, really, and being able to really understand the context and the comprehension around those experiences and not doing it in isolation. Absolutely. Goes back to that human element again, doesn't it? Forrester kind of studies, they really kind of always bring to life that customers feel valued and respected is the number one factor when playing around with kind of customer loyalty and playing into customer loyalty. And we talked about empathy quite a bit at the start, really. How moving on from empathy, but going into loyalty then, and those customers coming back, How do you create that advocacy and loyalty within the digital world that we're in now? What are the kind of takeaways and nuggets about loyalty in a digital world?
I think you find, again, using that word you just said about respect and interaction and communication, we don't just put out a system and forget that actually someone's going to be using it every single day and is going to be experiencing all that. We check in with them. We give them FaceTime. We talk to them and build relationships. We do, account management basically, but in a human way. Yeah, we're driving past your site tomorrow afternoon. Could we pop in and have a cuppa? How was your holiday? We quite often forget to do that. Businesses are running so fast that if you don't connect back and treat them as a real human and kind of build those relationships and that rapport and kind of go, oh yeah, your cat's called Felix, whatever, and kind of build actual, we are real people. We need this kind of real connection with another human being. So I would say that then builds the loyalty. And we've really seen this in our company. We've got some huge brand advocates because we've taken the time to really get to know them. And we'll say to them, how's your mom? And how's this? And then the next minute they're going, I've got another job for you. Because you spent that time, you've inputted into them, you've kind of played it forward, I guess, in a way, but more about because you just care. It's that customer empathy piece. You get to know them. You can't do that with every single customer. Of course you can't, especially if you've got thousands. But if you start kind of building those relationships at high level and start thinking about who's actually using the system and what matters to them and sending out things that are actually useful to them. So not just marketing comms or whatever, but actually, we've spoken to a select amount of people and you've all said that this would be useful. So here is a free something or other that we've done to be proactive for you and really kind of show that you've got their back. that just really builds that loyalty. And before you know it, you've got people going, do you know what? I really like this company. I love their tone of voice. I love the way they're being proactive about thinking about what we need. It feels like they're on our side. I'm going to tell everyone else about it. So yeah, that building human relationships is the number one thing, I'd say. And quite often we forget how important just picking up the phone and saying hiya is. It's just a basic check-in. I've really seen that from my colleagues. So Mark and John do that incredibly well, and you can see that throughout the book. I don't know if it's because they're northern, they're just fantastic at kind of just ringing up someone and throwing lots of laughter down the phone, the old dad joke, but it just it comes across so well. They don't ever have to sell because they just use their personalities to make a connection and a relationship. And I love that. I love seeing that. And we're really successful because of it. So I would definitely say pick up the phone, go and talk to somebody. It's not just about emails and marketing campaigns. It's about the real human.
Absolutely. And I suppose, you know, with that, in a digital world, you can't always go out and see people. Some people will be working in an environment where that FaceTime, you know, is harder. So in that sense, would you say that to do the personalization and to kind of land things proactively and to really kind of have those engaging touch points with customers, is it back to the data and the technology prompting the organization to do those things?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got your data coming in, you can see people aren't happy, you've got to go into that and go, right, okay, we're very clearly being told here that something's got to change, right? We need to lift our heads up and go, okay, what do we do? If the data is very clearly telling us it, let's focus in on that. Let's send out videos to customers. Let's go on LinkedIn Live and say, come and tell us what, no, we're here, or Facebook Live or whatever it is, and just encourage people to come and join and interact with us. So yeah, you might not be able to go and give them FaceTime because people are remote, but there's always ways to see each other's faces. I'm very much a whites of the eyes kind of person. I love being able to see a person's face. I hate the mask thing, but yeah, it's, you know, we've got to find ways to show the other person that we are an actual human, all 5'2" of me. I'm here, and this is my personality. And you're there, and you know, let's connect. And that, as I say, that's difficult. You've got thousands and thousands and thousands, but there's no reason why in what we've got now that we can't send out videos, that we can't. So Mark sends out TikToks, which are just fun and crazy and just hilarious, and that very quickly links back into our culture, because you know, we work very hard, but we're also about lots of laughter, and that then connects back. People go, I saw that madness on TikTok, what were you doing? But that was brilliant. And then all of a sudden you start building rapport. Laughter is brilliant in business, it really is. If you can build that, you can do that. But yeah, use the data to get you started and to check back in to make sure you're doing it in the right place. You've got to use the data, you can't ignore it. But don't just go, data tells us this, let's go and change this, and then not do anything, not check back in or use the human stuff to make sure we're actually doing it right.
I can absolutely see now at the end of this kind of interview today that why you guys wrote that book as well, because it's really obvious that, you know, as you said, your business is Internet of Things, it's built on technology, but actually, you know, as a leadership team, how human you all are and how passionate you are, you know, that sponsorship at the top that drives that human element is differentiating you. And it's also allowing you to use technology to your advantage and to create something that's sustainable. And I feel that that's quite unique as well, just the way that you've talked about it this afternoon. I just, you know, the kind of customer at the heart, the human at the heart, I think that's really loud. And it feels like a really key ingredient to your business as well as to why you've been successful. So I'm going to close with one final question, if I can. Fast forward, look into the future. What do you predict the swing is going to be around, you know, the kind of technology over humans? What's that look like? You've talked about the balance, but which way is it going to swing? If you were to fast forward in the future, what would you predict?
Huge question. It depends on sector, etc., like that. But I think we'll keep track, we'll keep galloping on with digital transformation and automation and tech, and we'll just keep getting slapped around the head and going, customer, human, real world. And then we will see kind of things rewind a little bit. That's my galloping horse. As you kind of see, actually, no, we've gotten too fast. So I think, you know, that we're not going to stop tech. It's there for a reason. The automation will really take some leaps and bounds. So the swing will be big, but we'll keep having to remember that there's the humans there, and there'll be several times I think where brakes will be applied and it'll be like, nope, this isn't working. We've forgotten that actually we're people, and the fundamental thing we need is, I'll give you this and you give me that in return. That is business. And that's the fundamental bit. Yes, the tech is brilliant and we need that. And yes, we can change the world with it. But actually, it's two people swapping something that's of equal value, hopefully. Then that's what business is. So let's not make it too overcomplicated, because where's the value in that? So yeah, I think it will keep going. It won't stop. And it's really exciting. It's a huge amount of Internet of Things. It's amazing what you can do with it and all the other, you know, amazing technologies out there. But the customer has got to come first. We've got to build everything around the human. And we're never going to get away from the fact that a human and a human need to have some kind of actual interaction. Otherwise, life's not worth living, in my world anyway.
That is a beautiful statement to end on. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insight and being so open with us this afternoon. We've kicked off the Customer Experience Podcast, so thanks, Sharon. Hopefully the listeners will take away lots of nuggets from this afternoon. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Customer Experience Podcast with Emma Dark. And if you want to know more about how SNS can help you and your organization, there are three main ways. Number one, subscribe to this podcast and also check out some of our cutting edge knowledge and ideas on the insights page of our website. Number two, if you're a senior leader or change agent, join one of our change communities to network and share with like-minded individuals, both online and off. And finally, if you need to solve a problem across business change, agility, delivery, or transformation, and don't want to go down the traditional consulting route, shoot us an email to hello@sullivanstanley.com.